All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and open to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and we're continuing looking at our series on the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount is several chapters. What we refer to as the Beatitudes are found just kind of in the first part of chapter number 5. And so we're in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 12, verses 1 through 12. And I know sometimes on Sunday mornings I'll have you read together with me, and we've kind of read through this multiple times, so you should kind of have it down by now. So I'm going to have you read through it with me out loud, and we'll read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. All right, so you read it along with me. And if you need a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. You can follow along as well. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So we're looking at the Beatitudes, and we've gone through several of them. Again, just kind of looking and seeing what the Lord has for us here. And we saw in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And so we see the attitude towards self. Before we can look at anything else, we've got to make sure that we recognize who we are. And that is, we are nothing before God. Right, we cannot have pride in our life, that poor in spirit, that humility. In verse number 4, he says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we see our attitude towards sin. There should be a brokenness. There should be a mourning over sin. In verse number 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So we see our attitudes towards submission. Submission to God and what his plan, what his desire for our life is. In verse number 6, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So what is our attitude toward desires? What are we desiring after? Are we desiring after the things of God? Are we desiring after the things of the world? What do we desire after? In verse number 7, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So we see our attitude toward others as well. Are we merciful to those around us? Then, as we saw last week, in verse number 8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So he begins dealing with our character. He talks about the pure in heart, being clean, unspoiled, and why that is so important when God tells us that we are to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Right? And God says we're to guard our heart. And again, when we think about the heart, we're not talking about the physical organ in the body that we call the heart. We looked at how the heart is that inner man. It's who we are in the spirit. And so he talks about blessed are the pure in heart. Now we come to verse number 9, and he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So he talks about being pure in heart, but now he also talks about being a peacemaker. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," right? By the way, that is not a revolver. There used to be a revolver called a peacemaker, but that's not what we're talking about tonight, all right? A peacemaker is someone who is trying to prevent contention. They're trying to prevent strife or war. It is someone who tries to reconcile opposing parties and prevent hostilities, right? Now, of course, you can look throughout the world, and even today, you find people trying to negotiate peace deals and trying to get wars stopped, like with between Russia and Ukraine and things like this. And you have people coming in trying to bring these peace deals. But the thing we have to really focus about a peacemaker and think about a peacemaker is that a peacemaker is selfless. A peacemaker is not making peace so that they get something out of it, right? Unfortunately, a lot of times peacemakers, what we think of peacemakers, they want peace so there's something that they get out of it, okay? In fact, you look at a lot of times with wars and things like this, somebody comes in, they're trying to bring peace or whatever. A lot of the times they're trying to bring peace, but they have an ulterior motive in something they're trying to get accomplished and something they're trying to get out of it, okay? But a true peacemaker is selfless. And now, again, think about this. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. I wonder if there was maybe a shock when they heard this. Now remember who Matthew is writing to, right? Matthew is writing to the Jews, right? What were the Jews looking for? The Jews were looking for a deliverer. The Jews were looking for a king. The Jews were looking for a warrior that was going to come and deliver them from Rome, right? That he was going to come with might and with an army, and he's going to battle and things. And yet Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I can't say for certain, but I'm no doubt certain that there were probably some of them thinking, wait a minute, you're saying you're the Messiah and you're saying blessed are the peacemakers? I mean, look what Rome has done to us. Where is this military king? Where is this warrior king that is going to come and deliver us from our oppressor and oppression? Where is this? And they're listening to him saying, wait, blessed are the peacemakers? And so I think there was probably a little bit of a shock to the Jews because of what they were looking for. They wanted someone to deliver them from Rome. And they knew the only way that would happen, it was if there was military might. The only way, you're not gonna make a deal with Rome, right? There's no making peace with Rome. I mean, Rome is a conquering nation, okay? I mean, that's who they were. The Romans were conquerors. You don't make peace deals with them. They conquer you, okay? And so Jesus is saying, blessed are the peacemakers. It's interesting in Psalms chapter 85 in verse number 10, it describes the nature of peace. It says, mercy and truth are met together. So think about that. Mercy and truth are met together. And then he says this, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Think about it. He puts these things together. Mercy and truth. I think there's even a passage in the New Testament that says we are to speak the truth, but how? In love, right? So he says there's got to be that mercy and truth. There's that truth in love, but then he says righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In other words, you can't separate these two. Righteousness and peace are together. Because if we think about it, many who are called peacemakers are really not, because peacemaking and being a peacemaker has to do with righteousness. And these peacemakers that are trying to bring peace or whatever have nothing to do with righteousness. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about God. They don't care about the things of God, right? And so when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, think about, go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, notice verse number 14. He says, for he, referring to Jesus Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, and through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now think about this. Paul gives us, I would say, probably the greatest example of a peacemaker, right? Of course, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the greatest example that we have in Scripture of a peacemaker. Now, there are other examples, and we can look at those, but Jesus Christ is the greatest example. Again, think about this. A peacemaker is one who is selfless. He's doing this because there's nothing that he has to gain through it, okay? I mean, think about this. Jesus is our peace. What did he have to gain by offering peace between man and God? He has nothing to gain. We are the ones who have something to gain, right? And this is why we find what he says here. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And notice, he has abolished in his flesh the enmity. So Jesus Christ took upon himself that enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. So Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, everyone has peace with God the same way. It's through Jesus Christ at the cross, right? That's what he's saying here. He says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So both, he says, both the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew, we could say, were nigh to God because they were God's chosen people, but yet they had to still be saved the same way. The Gentiles, who maybe were afar off, they were not God's chosen people. They didn't have the prophets like Israel did, but he says he makes both of them at peace. He brings both of them peace in what he has done. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did. He is that peacemaker, right? We were separated from God, right? There's nothing that we can do to be reconciled to God, okay? The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Timothy that there is one God and one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one who can reconcile. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring peace to God, to us, because of what he has done. That's why in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 1, he says, therefore, we have peace with God. Look over there with me. Look, this is a great verse, right? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by, what's that next word? Faith. We're justified by faith, not by works, not by religion, not by religious rituals. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the only way that you and I are able to have peace is because someone else came to bring that peace. Someone else came to work, to reconcile, to bring us back together again. And he says, because of what Jesus Christ did, we now have peace with God. Because before Jesus Christ, guess what? We're under the wrath of God. Every one of us is under the wrath of God because of our sin. But because of what Jesus Christ does, now through faith, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, now he says we have peace with God. Aren't you glad you can have peace with God? Aren't you glad you don't ever have to worry about being under God's wrath? We're not under God's wrath because we have peace with God. Why? Because Jesus Christ reconciled us. Jesus Christ brought us back by faith. Not anything we have done, but what Jesus Christ did. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we are justified by faith. And because we have peace with God, we are made righteous. because we have peace with God now, God gives us his own righteousness. See, righteousness and peace are together. You cannot have righteousness without having the peace of God. It's impossible. Can't have it. If you don't have peace with God, you can't have righteousness. You can't have righteousness without having peace with God. They're together. Once you put your faith and trust in Christ, guess what you get? You get both the righteousness of God and you get peace with God. You get them both, right? And so this is what he's saying here. Blessed are the peacemakers. Think about this. Proverbs chapter 17, let me just read you a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. So think about what scripture says about those that are, should we say, the opposite of peacemakers, right? The opposite of peacemakers, okay? He says, therefore, leave off contention, the beginning of strife, right? He says, strife, and this is just the opposite of someone who is trying to be a peacemaker. In Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strife, right? That there's hatred, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's anger. All of these things stir up strife. You're not gonna have peace if you have those things. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know, there's people that just like to kindle strife. There's just people that like to cause trouble, right? There's just people that just enjoy pouring gas on the fire, right? Now, look, I'll be honest, okay? When I'm having a debate with some of the, you know, the college guys or some of the young guys or things like that, I have to admit, I do enjoy playing the devil's advocate a little bit, okay? All right? And I can you know, try to get them and stir them up a little bit. Okay, I have to admit, I do enjoy that a little bit, all right? But it's a good thing, all right? I'm not trying to cause them to get mad or anything. I'm trying to cause them to think, okay? But when we think about this, there are some people that just, they're just always, they're full of strife. They're always arguing. They're always bickering. And think about what Jesus is saying. Wait a minute. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. So if we're going to be following what Jesus Christ has done, and he is the example of a peacemaker, then should not those who call themselves Christians also be peacemakers? Not full of strife, not full of anger, not full of bitterness, but peacemakers. In fact, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So here's the, what is the one thing that keeps us from being a peacemaker? What's the one thing that keeps us from being a peacemaker? What is it? Pride. Pride is what keeps us from being a peacemaker, right? Whether it's in something of our own life personally, where, you know, guys, you know, I know it's, you know, we're never wrong, right? right? And, you know, our wives don't get that sometimes, right? And there's some strife that ends up happening, right? And what do? Well, they should know that I'm right. And if they want to apologize, they can come to me, right? We don't make the effort to make peace, do we? Right? And I could say vice versa too, ladies, right? Sometimes, ladies, you can do that as well. I don't know why I said we, not we. You can do that, right? You can do that, right? When we know there's an opportunity to make peace and yet we choose not to, why? It's because of pride. Again, a peacemaker is selfless. They're willing to make peace because it's not about whether I'm right or I'm wrong. I want to bring peace. I want to help resolve this situation. You see, peacemakers love peace. But can I say they do not passively just accept trouble, right? They just don't passively accept it. There are those who claim to love peace to the point that they will remove themselves from all kinds of trouble, right? Well, I just love peace, so I'm not gonna be involved, right? I love peace so much, so I'm just not gonna take part in this. No, that's not what he's saying here, okay? That's not the type of peacemaker that he's talking about. It's not about ignoring and fleeing problems. Okay? Again, Jesus was a peacemaker in more ways than one. Yet when he came to this earth, you remember all of the different times that he was in conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these different people? Did Jesus just run and hide and be like, well, I don't want to cause a problem? Sometimes we have this idea that a peacemaker is, you know, well, I'm just, I can't say anything. I just have to let it go, right? No, when there was something that was wrong, Jesus stood and addressed it, right? There were times when Jesus would not run from problems and issues, but he would address them head on, right? Again, so we have to get this idea out of our mind that a peacemaker means that I can't ever stand for truth or stand for right. No. A peacemaker is going to stand for truth. He's going to stand for right, but at the same time, understanding that I do want to bring peace through this resolution. And so as I'm working to bring peace, I may speak the truth, but I'm going to speak it how? With mercy and love, right? Again, remember what he said in Psalms, mercy and love are together just as peace and righteousness are together. You think about this, Abraham was a peacemaker. Think about it. He was a peacemaker between God and Sodom and Gomorrah. God's ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham stands and says, well, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare? Lord, if there's 40 righteous, would you spare them? Lord, if there's 30 righteous, would you spare them? If there's 20 righteous, would you spare them? If there's 10 righteous, would you spare them? What about Moses? He was a peacemaker between God and Israel. God says, I'm ready to destroy him. And Moses steps in and says, no, Lord, don't do that. Don't destroy him. He was willing to be that peacemaker. David was a peacemaker with the man who was trying to kill him. Think about it. David, Saul was after David consistently, over and over and over, tried to kill him. And yet when David had the opportunity to revenge, when David had the opportunity to kill him, what did David do? He tries to bring in peace. He says, I'm not gonna raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. When he had the opportunity to kill Saul and get even, he says, no, I'm not gonna do that. In fact, so many times he worked to try to bring peace between him and Saul. What about Abigail? Abigail was a peacemaker between David and her husband Nabal. When David came and he said, hey, we've protected him and could we have some food? And Nabal's like, I'm not gonna help you at all. And David's like, all right, guys, armor up. And they get their swords and spears and shields and they're gonna go. And Abigail hears about what happens and she's like, oh man, this is not good, not good. And what does she do? She goes out and brings peace between David and Nabal. Barnabas was a peacemaker. It's interesting, I thought about this. Barnabas was a peacemaker. We know he's an encourager, there's no doubt about that, but Barnabas was a peacemaker. Who wanted to have anything to do with Paul after he got saved? Nobody did. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with Paul. Paul's gonna go and he's gonna go meet the apostles. And they're like, we don't wanna have anything to do with him. And what does Barnabas do? Barnabas brings him along. Barnabas is that peacemaker to try to bring him through this, right? So again, if you think about it, practically every organization has its troublemakers, including the church. Including the church. Wherever the troublemaker is, there's gonna be criticism, there's gonna be grumbling, there's gonna be murmuring, and unfortunately too often, there's gonna be division within the body. Sometimes the division may be minor, sometimes major, but it's never good. Because again, it's all about me, it's all about pride. But a peacemaker is going to do everything they can to try to bring peace. They try to settle the matter. They try to solve the problem. They try to handle the differences. They try to reconcile the parties. But can I say one thing we have to be very careful about? Unfortunately, some people think they're peacemakers when they're just busybodies. well, I'm going to help them figure this out. No, you're just a busybody and you're just trying to get your nose into somebody else's business, right? Again, it's not supposed to be about you, right? And unfortunately, I've seen this happen in churches sometimes where an issue is saying, well, I'm going to go help them. And the only reason they volunteer to go help them is because they want to get involved in the situation. That's not a peacemaker, friend. That's a busybody, right? That's somebody that's just trying to, even when they get involved in it, guess what they end up doing? They end up egging on the situation. They end up making it even worse than it was before they got involved in it. A peacemaker understands, look, it's not about me. I'm trying to help someone else. Maybe the situation is with me, and maybe I've offended someone. And you know what? So many times when we know we've offended someone, we don't want to go and say, I'm sorry. We don't want to say, I'm sorry. We don't want to admit that we were the ones that were wrong, right? How could we ever admit that we were wrong? Well, if you're going to be a peacemaker, as Jesus says, we've got to be willing to admit, hey, I was wrong, and I need to go and admit my mistake, admit where I was wrong so that I can bring peace to the situation. And can I say, sometimes you may not even have been wrong. You say, well, I knew that. I'm glad you said that, preacher. Now I don't have to go and apologize. No, the Bible talks about defrauding yourself. When you know there's a situation that is causing issues and there's causing a problem, when you know that there's a wrong, and even though you might say, well, I don't think it was me. I don't think I did anything. I think it's really on their part. You know, I don't think Michael's the one that did it. I don't think it was me, right? I think it was Michael. Michael's the one that said it, right? I didn't say it. But I know that there's conflict and strife between Michael and I. By the way, Michael didn't say anything, okay? But if I know there's conflict here, then you know what I'm going to be willing to do if I'm a peacemaker? I'm willing to say, you know what? I don't know that I did anything wrong, but I'm going to come to Michael and say, Michael, I am so sorry. Whatever I need to do to make this right, I want to make it right. I want our friendship to be there. I want that relationship to be there. And I'm willing to take the blame, even though I may not have even been wrong. Was Jesus wrong? Did he not take the blame for you and for me? You see, we just think, well, if they're wrong, they've got to come and apologize to me. Wait a minute. A peacemaker is one that's even willing to say, hey, you know what? I may not have done the wrong, but I'm willing to be defrauded for the sake of peace. I'm willing to accept the fault so that we can keep this relationship, so that we can keep this friendship. And what happens so often in so many churches among Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't want to be defrauded. We're not willing to be defrauded. We're not willing to say, hey, for the sake of peace, I will apologize. For the sake of peace, I'm going to go to my brother and make it right, even though I'm not even sure if I did anything wrong, but for the sake of peace, I'm going to go to him. And instead, what do we do? Well, if he did it, he can come to me. And what do? We just let it fester, right? We just let it fester, okay? So often, unfortunately, with being a peacemaker, we cannot remove ourselves from the situation because it's always about us. But here's the thing. If I love this brother and he's a brother in Christ and I want there to be peace, it cannot be about me. It needs to be about him. And so that means I'm willing to be defrauded. That means I'm willing to take the wrong, and I'm not going to just, well, you know, I wasn't wrong the other time, brother, but you know, I admitted it. No, that's not, where's the peace in that? We're not still trying to bring peace, okay? And this is why Jesus is saying, look, and especially, again, especially when you understand the time, when you go and you read, especially with the Romans, right? The Romans were just, they were not nice to the Jews, okay? I mean, even Jesus gives an illustration. He says, hey, if a Roman soldier comes and he says, hey, go with me a mile, literally, a Roman soldier could pick up a Jew and just say, hey, maybe Brian's working, maybe he's at the shop, he's working out, come here, man. And he could literally take the Jew and say, carry my bag, and you have to go a mile. So this Jewish man would have to stop everything what he's doing, because if he didn't, guess what's gonna happen? He's gonna either be beaten, he could be arrested, he could be killed, because Rome's in charge. And when Rome said, hey, pick up my bag and carry it a mile, he had to carry it a mile, stop everything that he's doing. And then here's what Jesus says, go with him too. All he's required to do is go one by law. By law, that Roman soldier could only make him go 1 mile, right? He's gonna go 1 mile. Jesus said, go with him too. What's Jesus? He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus is saying, it's more important, it shouldn't be about you, it's about this one. Because let's face it, the first mile that you're walking, you're grumbling. And you're complaining, and you're like, I'm just doing this because this Roman soldier's got a sword. I'm just doing this because if I don't, he's gonna throw me in jail. But when you get to that second mile, you see, it's not the Roman soldier that's making you do it now. Now you're doing it because you have made a choice to do it. Can't be grumbling about it now because it's your choice. Jesus said, this is the way you need to respond. And so think about what, thank you. He says, think about this. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Those that are working to bring peace, okay? Now again, this does not mean that we will have complete external peace on the earth, okay? There will never be peace, complete external peace on the earth until Satan is gone and we enter the eternal reign of God, right? Because even after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, guess what's gonna happen? Satan's gonna be loosed. And there still isn't going to be peace, not with Satan roaming around. But once he is destroyed, then there will be peace. But we should be promoting the peace that only God can give. This is why he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He says, look, what God wants for us is to live peaceably with all men, if it's possible. If it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And this is why Jesus says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God says, I'm giving you a peace. It's not an external peace, it's an internal peace. That even when it seems like everything's going wrong in the world and there is no external peace, you can still have internal peace because it's my peace. My peace that I give you. Think about what he says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The benefit of being a peacemaker is they're called the children of God. Now, please note, it does not say they shall be made the children of God. We're not doing this for salvation. Well, if I'm a peacemaker, then I'll be made a child of God. No, they shall be called the children of God. We're doing this because we are the children of God. We're wanting to be peacemakers. And by the way, could I say that Christians ought to be the most peaceful people that there are? But listen, can I tell you something? And we're gonna get into this in the next couple of verses. When you stand for truth and when you stand for right, I can tell you this, in this world, it will not bring peace. It will not bring peace. I mean, we're not gonna get into it tonight, but look at the next two verses. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Sounds peaceful? No, it doesn't. Verse number 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Sounds peaceful? No, it's not peaceful. When we are following God and we're obedient to God and we are working to live a peaceful life and we're trying to share the peace that only God can give to them, it's not going to be just easygoing. But yet he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, very quickly, I got to finish this up in like 2 minutes because I know we've got to get the Master Club awards thing as well. If we're going to have peace, first of all, there has to be peace with God. That means a person has to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the first place peace starts, right? Then we can work to be peacemakers, trying to help other people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, helping them to know the peace that they can have through God. And then as we live our life in the way that God tells us to, we can be bringing peace in circumstances around us and helping to bring peace. And again, you're gonna find when you try to bring peace, because again, peace and righteousness go together. When you try to bring peace because of righteousness, it's not always gonna end the way that you want it to end. It's not always just gonna be, oh, you know, hey, here's a peacemaker, everything's great now. It's not always gonna end that way. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't live that way. Doesn't mean we shouldn't continue that way, right? Again, a peacemaker is not gonna be seeking revenge. They're not gonna be seeking, gotta get even. That's not a peacemaker, okay? And so again, when we are right with God and we have peace with God, then that peace that he gives us enables us to live in a way that is very different from the rest of the world. And as we are living as peacemakers, he says, they shall be called the children of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the greatest peacemaker. He brought peace to mankind when we put our faith and trust in him. That's what, again, that's what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. For what purpose? So that we could be at peace with God. But that only happens through faith in Christ. And then as we follow Christ, now we can work to bring peace to other people. We can't save them, but we can help them to know who can. And then we can work to bring peace in situations and things and make sure, even in our own life, if we know there's conflict, are we working to bring peace? Or are we trying to stir it up a little bit more? Are we working to bring peace, or are we so prideful that we're like, I'm not gonna go to them. They can come to me if they want peace. Yeah, that's not the peacemaker that God wants. And so he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, every one of us as Christians, to understand how important it is to be a peacemaker. Lord, we can have peace because of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have peace with God. We don't ever have to worry about the wrath of God. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to recognize that even in how we live our life, whether it's at home, in our marriages, with our children, Lord, at work, Lord, we should be the peacemakers. We should be showing that there's something different about us than about the rest of the world and how the world lives. And that we work to resolve things. We're not trying to cause problems and stir up strife. And we're willing even to be defrauded for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to meditate on this. Lord, just to examine our own heart and our own lives and say, Lord, am I a peacemaker or am I a troublemaker? Am I helping to bring peace or am I causing more strife and conflict in how I'm doing things? Because a peacemaker is gonna be selfless, just as you were. So Father, we thank you for the peace that we can have with you because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to follow that example as the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.